Bad girl. Bad girl.
Bad girl.
Yeah, bad girl that.
Hey, bad girls.
My name is Meesh Maroon.
I've been wined and dined, honey. And I'm dark skin. I'm definitely ain't no racially ambiguous bitch. Let me tell you that.
My name's Zara.
I want women to also take away from casually date, but also have your shit together.
Real bad gal shit. My name is Meesh Maroon.
My name's Zara.
And welcome to Bad Gal Chat.
Hey. Hope you guys are doing well. Let's get into today's episode. Azaria, how are you? How have you been?
I am good. That conversation yesterday on live was super duper crazy.
If you are missing our Instagram lives, I don't know what to tell you. Like, we have the most lit times, the craziest times, all types of people from all walks of life. We had hood niggas from Philly throwing up gang signs, showing their guns online.
Oh my God.
To my gay friend who's a sex worker, to a guy friend of ours, a straight guy friend of ours, talking about how he likes to put women and how much he likes to eat the cat. We had my cousin who's bisexual, everybody from every walk of life was on our Instagram live last night talking about the freakiest stuff. It was a lot.
I almost cried on live. It was a lot.
Yes, it was a little therapy sesh.
It was a lot, but so make sure you guys check out our lives. But other than that, I have been good. I have been working on my business. I actually launched a new affiliate program. So if you guys want to make $20 and refer me a client, when they pay and we actually start working together, I give whoever has given me a client $20, because you're supposed to share wealth. So that's what's going on. And then also the A-List strategy, where I teach social media strategy and stuff like that. And one of my clients just graduated today. I'm very proud of her.
Yay, congrats.
Yes. So yeah, what about you? What's going on here?
Honestly, Azaria's asked me this previously yesterday, you know, after the live. Life is uneventful right now. And honestly, sometimes that's the best. It's better than drama. I've just been chilling, laying low. We're starting to slowly reopen in Ontario, Canada. But I haven't even been to a single patio or done anything really. I've just been at home still, trying to get my body together, working out, trying to eat healthy, trying to get chores and errands done. That's pretty much what I've been doing. But yeah, I'm happy, healthy, and all of the things them. So bless up. Thank Jaja for life. All right. So you already know what time it is. It's Convo and Chill with Bad Gals. So if you guys don't know, if you're new to the show or you haven't been picking up on who and what Convo and Chill is, it's a card game with 99 controversial questions. Okay. You can spend hours playing this game. I love to play it in a group setting with all genders involved, because again, just like our Instagram live, more walks of life, more experiences. And it's available in the US, Canada, and the UK through Amazon and convoandchill.com. Azaria, how can they save some money?
So if you guys follow Convo and Chill and message them Bad Gal or Bad Gal Chat, you'll be able to get some cash off of the game. It is available in the UK, Canada, and US. And yeah, so we're about to play the game. Misha's just grabbing the cards. And yeah.
Yay. So my question for today is, how would you feel if your partner asked you to sign a prenup before getting married?
I'd be fine with it. I do want a prenup in general. People don't realize that prenups are not just about money. It's an agreement on how you would be able to separate. So when it comes to prenups, for me, realistically, it's about how you would go about going through the bad times when you're in a good position. And we're supposed to prepare for the worst. Like, that's what it is. It's not the ideal situation. You don't want to get divorced or anything like that. But I ideally do want a prenup. I would not be offended whatsoever. What about you?
For me, I think a prenup, getting a prenup is like getting a will. I think it's essential because
the death of the marriage.
Exactly. And similar to your life ending, you don't get happy about your life ending. You don't wish for your life to end, but you know, it is a possibility. Well, it's inevitable, maybe not so soon, depending on what Elon Musk is cooking up, but it's inevitable. Not to say divorce is inevitable. Sorry, Azaria.
No,
oh, I thought you were.
No, I'm just
oh, okay. I thought you were like, yeah, you want to add something? So similar to that, right? You never know when you're going to die, which is why even some people our age have a will, especially depending on what place in the world you live. Some people in their 20s die early, and that's common there. So I think it's just, like you said, preparing for the worst possible outcome, especially if you have assets, especially if you have kids, especially if you have properties. It's really important. And even beyond those things, it's just about how to be amicable, right? This is what I expect from you if I leave. I know some people in their prenup, you have 48 hours to vacate the premises, right? Or you have a week to go do X, Y, and Z. Or, you know, the divorce papers have to be signed within this time frame. So it's just things like that. It's not all about money. It's not all about greed. Similar to a will, some people don't leave money in a will, but they'll leave encouraging words for their loved ones, right? I'm pro prenup. But you know, it's everybody's fantasy to marry a very old guy and not have a prenup and get all his money. But in an ideal, normal situation, you know, a marriage of actual love, you know, you want that prenup in place. Okay, let's get into the mess. Girl, where should I start today? Let's start with Chloe Bailey. So
my twin,
Azaria's
twin, actually.
Azaria and Maddie's
favorite. The same class. Actually, she has the same placements as Maddie.
Okay.
She has the Pisces placements and everything. My twin. I love
her. There we go. So for some Juneteenth performance, I don't recall who was holding the performance. Chloe Bailey danced provocatively to Nina Simone's It's a New Day, I believe. It's a new day. It's a new, you know, sun in the sky. You
her
know how I feel. Exactly, her cover of it. So yeah, a lot of people had mixed emotions online. Some people thought it was amazing. I mean, Chloe's athleticism, her flexibility. I was just like, oh my God, I remember when I was in dance and I used to be able to move like that. And every time I see people do like cool dance moves or like an awesome performance, I'm like, oh, I need to do that. I need to learn how to do it. So for me, it was inspirational. But some people said that it wasn't appropriate for the song choice. Of course, that song is about, you know, it has civil rights undertones. For folks that don't know, Nina Simone was, I would say, a partner, sponsor, huge supporter of the Black Panthers. So a lot of her music during that time was towards the Black Power movement in that song as well. I'm going to save my opinion on it, and I'm going to go to see what my co-host says about this.
To be honest with you, I saw the performance. I thought she was very talented and did a very good job. I love watching her perform. I think she's such a beautiful performer. And then when it came to, I personally wouldn't have picked the song to perform like that. That's just Azaria. That's not knocking her whatsoever. But I think also people need to realize that our generation just performs and sees things very differently. Like, I think that's just inevitably what it is. It's like the idea of like feminism, and people think, I believe feminism is the ability to choose. right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe feminism is boxed in into any particular look or way, personally. It's the ability to choose, like men have the ability to choose. So if she chooses to perform the song like that, like, I can't knock her for her inspiration and where she goes about it. It just may not be my personal choice.
You know, I feel very similar to you, Azaria. Initially, when I was looking at the performance, I was like, again, my first thought is like, whoa, athleticism. Second thought, oh, I need to do that. I want to try that. Third is, me being very familiar with this song, especially as a Nina Simone stan, I was like, the context is a little wonky. You know what I mean? When I hear that song, I don't think, let me hit that splits and shimmy and shake my ass. But at the same time, I was thinking about liberation and what liberation means, right? And Nina Simone's granddaughter had said, yeah, my grandma would have lived for this performance. She was a very free woman. And I think a lot of the times we forget that our elders, our ancestors were just as wild and freaky and fun as we are. Like, I know in America, like back in the day, they had Freaknik, you know, and Girls Gone Wild and shit like that. So
they
when girls have
parties,
when girls have OnlyFans, elders are judging them, but they literally had their vagina out at Freaknik back in the day. So, and you weren't getting paid for it.
Linnell, you know who Linnell, the comedian, right?
Linnell.
Yeah. They had like houses where they would have orgies.
Yeah.
And people would have
I remember her saying
down.
That. Yeah. I remember her saying that. Yeah.
So in my brain, it's like, it's not like innovative. Like, and
no.
Mind you, I want to be very clear. Chloe's not promoting orgies or anything like that.
No,
like,
we're just talking about sexuality and freakiness,
right?
And what have you. Yeah.
But she clearly is a strong sensual performer. And mm-hmm. a lot of people are only focusing on her body. She had beautiful range while singing. You know what I mean?
As I said, she's Beyonce Jr.
Right.
And I do think that was definitely Beyonce's choice because it seems very Beyonce-esque to perform like that to that type of song. I also think that it was controversial in the right ways. So very good marketing. It wasn't controversial to the point of disrespect, but just controversial enough. But no, I think that sexuality, I'm so sorry guys for the train noises. I think that sexuality is a part of liberation, particularly for Black women. We have had a history of our sexuality, us not being in control of our sexuality, whether it's inter-community or intra-community, like whether it's people outside of our community or people within our community, our sexuality has been exploited. You know, if anyone's familiar with Sarah Bartman from South Africa, who was literally stolen from colonizers and toured the world in a freak show because she had a fat ass. And when she died, they literally cut her vagina and her vulva and put it in that preserving liquid and put it on display in a museum for centuries. So we have this history. So I think to have that ownership of I'm doing this and this is my liberation, I think that there's power in that. I don't think that all of liberation comes from that, but a piece of it does. So, hey, it's I wouldn't do it, but it's cool to me, bro. I don't know.
Yeah, and we also have to consider too that no one would have said anything if she was a white woman.
I think people would say a lot more if she was a white woman because singing to that song as a white woman, like
no, like if that. if it was like a white woman that was singing, like who's a powerful white
sweet,
woman?
Let me not do that.
Like if it was like a white woman singing to a song, I can't think of any white woman icons like Nina Simone, if that makes sense.
Dolly Parton.
But no, because Dolly Parton is sexually, like, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, that's
she's
true.
She's sexually free.
And so is, and this is another thing, though, so is Nina Simone. Again, me being a Nina Simone fan, a lot of her songs were freaky, bro. She was talking about, come here, daddy. Like, let me put this on you. That was in so many of her songs. So she was very sexual. Just because she didn't have her coochie out and she wasn't shaking her ass on stage did not mean that she wasn't sexually liberated.
It's the image that the Black community paints these icons and figures as. That's what it is, right?
Exactly. Because I think once you become immortalized, you kind of become like somewhat desexualized and kind of put as like this figure, almost similar to a religious figure, you know? I think people often do that, especially when it's an elder. Even Maya Angelou was a sex worker. People often forget that.
She was a pimp too.
Like, really? I didn't know she was a pimp.
She did a lot. Yeah. she ran a house.
Wow. So she's a madam.
I'm pretty sure. Allegedly. Okay. Yeah, no, she was.
I didn't know.
Right?
That.
So she run the streets. That's why I say all the time, if Kim Kardashian can do whatever she's doing, and then still be,
can we use Black China?
No,
let's use Black China as an example.
No, because for me, like Kim, like now she's doing a voice for Paw Patrol.
Really?
You don't know. But yeah, but what I'm saying is
Paw Patrol is canceled. Women, fuck that.
Whew. Well, it's for the kids, but you know what I mean? We
exactly.
Should have the ability to have different sides of ourselves.
Why can't T.S. Madison do Paw Patrol? She's an ex-sex worker. I don't want fucking Kim Kardashian culture vulture ass. Cultural appropriating anti-Black ass? Hell no. See, this is what I'm talking about.
Hey, bad gals. Just a friendly reminder to make sure you follow Azari and I on Instagram, which is linked in the description of every episode. And to be shouted out on the next episode that Azari and I record, make sure to drop a pink heart beside a blue heart emoji on our most recent post at Bad Gal Chat Podcast in order to be shouted out on the next episode that we do, okay? So at Bad Gal Chat Podcast on Instagram, drop that pink heart beside the blue heart emoji, and we will shout you out on the podcast. All right, let's get back into the episode.
I don't know, but for me, she has the ability to choose. And that's one thing that I think Black women should have the ability to choose and live different images. It's the same thing I talk about when it comes to mothering. People get so upset and offended when mothers want to find their sexuality and be sexual. Meanwhile, the reason why they became a mother is because they fucked.
That's what Young Miami said. Anyways, Lala, someone who's that culture vulture's best friend. Lala Anthony, Carmelo Anthony's ex-wife now, or about soon to be ex-wife.
Strange.
Allegedly, Carmelo was caught cheating on her with, I think it's Lee Daniels' niece. And Lala promptly got those divorce papers together, and now they will be getting a divorce. So how do you feel about this, Azaria?
Allegedly, she was cheating on him as well.
That's what the side chick said, so I don't really want to take, I don't know.
Not just that, but like pictures of her like walking around with other guys and stuff like that.
Oh, maybe they had an open relationship.
That's what I think it was. I think because they realized that they did not want to be together. So they started seeing other people in the relationship, allegedly. That's what I believe. But I also believe that Kim and Lala looked at each other and was like, you know what? We're getting divorced this year.
Cheers for Lala. I love her in the shy. She's shaped good. Goody. I don't know a lot about her. Tay does her hair. I don't have a lot to say, just good for her. I don't know. I don't know, but congrats. Okay, speaking of, I don't even have a segue for this. You guys remember when on the show we were talking about how Wendy pretty much told Erica Mena that a baby will not save her marriage to Safari, and Erica Mena got so upset and essentially brought up Wendy's prior domestic abuse story as like retaliation, talking about how her man didn't beat her hard enough or what have you, very disrespectful. Well, Spice, my queen Spice, was on the Wendy Williams show the other day, and she said that she had a message for Wendy Williams. She said that Erica Mena wanted Wendy Williams to know that she was right. So what I wanted to ask with this question is, do you feel like when elders give us tough love, sometimes they can be right? Or do you think they make us our situations into like a self-professing prophecy or whatever you call it? Do you think that they put bad energy onto what's going on, or do you think they're genuinely trying to look out for us and we should listen to them more? How do you feel about that?
I think it just depends on who's talking to you. Because Wendy in this case was 100% right.
Right.
Like, right. And that's not, I think Wendy said it the way that Erica Mena probably perceived it as like an up energy, right? But like Wendy is talking to her as probably a position from herself. Because if we watched, I didn't get to watch Wendy's biopic.
Never did I, but I heard it, right? There wasn't a lot of tea spilled.
Well, because she did it, right? But with her biopic, like she talked about the fact that like she really struggled to have a child.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So she probably went through the same position with
Lil It's Kevin, true. It's true. You know? It's true. Yeah.
And like, as much as people don't like Wendy, I think Wendy, because Wendy just reminds me of my aunt. Like my aunt.
I was just going to say, she's like, reminds me of my aunt as well. Like she just gives an auntie vibe. She's problematic, but we all as Black people know an auntie like Wendy.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, you're right. It does depend who it's coming from, because obviously there are some elders that will kind of throw words on you and it just manifests into something negative. But I think sometimes we do need to like pay attention. And I think Erica Mena was obviously acting out of hurt. She was probably in a position where she was trying to make things work with Safari and hearing that truth. You know, some people, when they hear truth about like their situation, they just get so pissed off and lash out at people instead of like taking time to themselves to reflect and mean, why are they saying that about my life? Maybe this is true, blah, 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 blah. They don't actually take the time to dissect. They just automatically are so in their hurt that they just lash out at people actually trying to help them, you know? And I mean, I'm sure all of us have been there at one point, but there are certain people who are like that, you know, more often. And I think that's probably what Erica Mena was going through. But yeah, I don't know. That's all I have to say is Wendy was absolutely right. And some of our aunties be dropping the gems and we just be ignoring them, but we do need to pay attention. Okay, so speaking of older people and younger people, there was this TikTok floating around a lot on Black Twitter of this 21-year-old girl who is dating this 41-year-old man. Literally looks like her damn father. So how do you feel about big age gaps? Because he's like literally double her age.
I personally don't care for age gaps. That's just me. I think it just depends on the person and why you're dating them, to be honest with you. Some people could have Oedipus complexes. So like,
that's true.
Men and women, right? So like you could be dating someone just to be fathered or mothered. I don't advise
That's cringe and it's so true.
Right? But for example, like the crush that I have, like he's 37, but I'm not the average 22-year-old. So
yeah. And I mean, that's the thing. We spoke about this on Mr. Activated episode a couple weeks back. Love that episode, by the way. And it does depend on your life stage. There are people who are 21, who own their own home, who own multiple businesses, multiple streams of income, and are at the same life stage as somebody who's double their age, right? And have experienced so much that they have the same amount of maturity. My thing is that most of the time that is not the case. It's very rare. And I think that this is a reason why I don't do the big age gap thing, is because we're in different life stages. you're looking to settle down. I'm just ramping up my life and getting my life on track, you know? So it's very imbalanced in that sense. Would I fuck a 41-year-old? Probably. Would I be in a relationship with one? Probably not, you know? That's just my view.
Yeah, I think it depends on the mentality. So like the guy that I'm interested in, that I have a crush on, he actively said that like right now he's living his 20s because he ran through his 20s,
right,
running through the street, you know? So like for him, he is in the position of rediscovering himself that I am in as well, right? So I also think it helps too that like you don't look old. Like there are guys that I've seen or dated that don't look old.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like if people saw him, I don't know, I'm not going to air him out right now, but like, what's it called? Like if you saw him, you wouldn't, you could probably get a 37-year-old man vibe from him. But like, I thought he was just his late 20s.
Yeah. And I mean, that's true as well. Like who you're referring to, I agree. I would have thought that that person was our age group. And that happens. And there are some people our age group who look like they're 45. Hard life. It's a hard knock life. So that is true. But beyond aesthetics, it's more of a mental thing. And like I said, would I sleep with someone double my age? Probably. Like, I don't think I would have any qualms about that. But relationship, I don't know about that, you know. Okay, we are just speeding through today. Now we're in the UK. Hey, Wagwan. So, blue therapy on Trend Central. Sorry, the UK people are probably pissed. On Trend Central, Trend Central, first and foremost. I feel like I've said this a lot. You guys need to come to Toronto and do Backchat Toronto. Like, Backchat New York was a fuck up. Backchat Toronto is going to be lit. Because the UK and Toronto are very similar. So I feel like it had the same energy because we have Africans and Caribbean people here just the same. And it's the same type of vibe and connection. We would bring it. We would absolutely bring it. And when you do, make sure you bring Azari and I on as panelists because that's a must. That's a must. We're giving you the idea. So they also have this new show called Blue Therapy where couples go on and seek couples therapy. And it has recently been revealed that the show is fake. Paul, who was with Chioma on the show, revealed, he was like, oh, you know, it's my first acting gig. Thank you so much. And he was caught with another girl. And Chioma was on a podcast a couple of years ago, essentially saying, hey, this is my first, I'm training for my first acting gig and I'm really excited. And she mentioned Blue Therapy as the gig she's going to be on. So it's quite obvious, but some people are still not convinced, even after seeing the therapist IMDb. How do you feel, girl?
We knew it was fake.
I knew it was fake. It was giving scripted.
But even just like the in-between conversations, like it was fake.
Yeah. Even my mom was, you know, when it reaches the aunties, that is getting way too popular, bro. My mom literally was speaking to me the other day and she's like, oh, have you seen that show with the British African people? They're young. And the one guy has the bald head and he's with Chioma. I'm like, Blue Therapy? You know about Blue Therapy. So it's reaching the aunties and it is giving scripted. I don't know why you guys even needed the proof. I could have told, I'm not saying the acting is bad. They did a great job, but it already gave me that vibe. I don't know why Trend Central didn't state that it was scripted, but maybe they wanted that to be something to marketing. Drum up. Again, controversy, you're correct. Just like with the Chloe Bailey thing, controversy sells. But yeah, last but not least, we are going to talk about why am I forgetting his name? Jay Huss. I literally have to say Jay Huss ugly in it. I was like, who is it? So Jay Huss, this grime rapper in the UK, his first baby is on the way with Jamaican British dancer Laws. So Laws is not with Jay Huss, but she is with his baby, with his child. And somebody had asked her, since she's single, are you happy with being a baby mom and not a wife? And this was her response. When are you lot going to understand marriage doesn't stop issues from happening? And if I wanted marriage, trust me, there's guys I could marry, but I'm not forcing marriage because it looks better. But marriage isn't off the cards for me. People have kids and still get married. Get with the times. There's my British accent. Thank you very much. Thank you. How do you feel?
What she said is bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't the question. She didn't answer the question. She didn't answer the question.
This is true.
She didn't say if she was or was not. She stated a fact that we all know, but she didn't answer the question.
If she was happy with it. I don't think she is.
So then moral of the story.
She would have been like, it's my choice, I'm happy.
Moral of the story, sit down and figure out what you want. Figure out if you want to be married. Figure out if you want to be a baby mom. Just sit down and figure that out. I'm not judging anybody. It's not my cup of tea personally to be a baby mom. I am not getting pregnant
until
I'm married. Mm-hmm. That is a conscious decision, but that's just me.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, listen, people find themselves in certain situations, right? People find themselves getting pregnant, say in their late 20s, and they're like, why get rid of it when I'm financially stable and, you know, I'm already kind of grown enough, and that's their personal choice. And I would never be the type of person to be like, everyone should go get an abortion if they're not married. I think that's not my choice to make. I do think that some women choose to be with men who they know are not going to last. And I hate to say this, I'm not victim blaming. Unless it's rape, a lot of women put themselves in positions to be single. I'm gonna get A up for this, to be single mothers. And listen, I am a product of a single mom. I've spoken about this before plenty of times. Everybody knows this. Jehovah knows this. People who don't even know me know that about me. Even my mom would say, like, she doesn't want what happened to her to happen to me, right? And even with that situation, like, my parents were engaged to be married, and they were grown. They were big grown. They were in their 30s, you know? And the situation was very complex, not going to get too much into it. And a lot of people, like we've spoken about before on Instagram Live, people can be deceitful. Some people can make you think that they are going to be there for the long run, and they're not, because that's how my father was. And I have a friend who also has a single mother in the same situation. The mom thought that the father was going to be there for the long haul. And of course, laws is right. There's people in marriages who, once the baby comes, they get the divorce because they can't deal with it. So it does happen. But the reason why I think folks like Azari and I aim for marriage before children is because you need to have that solid foundation of a contract to be like, we are committed to each other, in front of God, in front of family, legally binding us before we introduce children to a unstable, precarious relationship.
Well, here's the thing, right? People forget that the reality is you can have a child on your own.
Yeah, and people choose to do that. And that's different. That's very different.
But that's not involving another human being that's going to impact the child's life. And that's my issue. And I think it also speaks to our culture around feeling like you can make whatever decision you want. I want to make that very clear. But I think what's being pushed in our society, specifically within Black society, is being a baby mother is just the norm, and it's okay.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, I don't think we should be pushing this idea for people to just be baby mothers. Because, like, for example, like the rest of my aunts, they are considered baby mothers now, right? That wasn't their choice, right? But we never woke up and said, like, this is comfortable, this is what we wanted for our kids to see. You know what I mean? Even me, because I'm talking, my mom is technically a baby mother. That's not something that my parents were like, oh, this is what we want for you as an adult, you know? But you also learn and know how to do better. And I think that comes with education and then creating the standards that you want for yourself or what you want out of your life. You know, I personally don't think we should be having raw sex if we don't want to consider bringing a child into the world. Accidents happen. I completely understand that, right? But I think there's a lot of people that are not pre-planning and considering the repercussions for not even yourself, but that child, you know?
And again, I'm a product. Again, this is someone who is a product of a single parent household, right? And because I come from that, I don't want to reproduce that. My mother came from that and reproduced that. Like, I'm breaking the chain by stopping that, you know?
And circumstances happen. We're not saying that things could happen. Of course. I think there's people that are intentionally like,
and that's what we're talking about.
Like, I've had a conversation with someone that said, like, yeah, if I get pregnant, like, it is what it is. And I'm like, you know, you're responsible for a whole human being.
And, like, and here's the thing. Here's another thing too, right? I think the blame should also be put on the baby daddy, especially baby daddies who have multiple baby mothers, because when are you going to learn? You're just dropping seed
everywhere. But even everywhere. Just men that don't want to strap up. Like, let's just keep it a book.
Of course. But, yeah. You know, in terms of the actual product of a child happening, you know what I mean? Like, but I think in this case with Laws and J-Huz doesn't have any children, but he's already not showing up for his first. Well, I can't say he's not showing up for the first child because I don't know, but he's not showing up for the baby mother. I haven't seen him at the baby shower. I haven't seen him talk about, he hasn't even acknowledged it at all.
But this is sitting down and figuring out who you're dating. Like, I sat down once and I was like, if I got pregnant by the last guy I slept with, I'd have a heart attack. Like, it's considering like who you're sleeping with and seeing if they could fit into your life in the future. If in case anything does happen.
But, you know, some people, it's situationships, right? Like, not every situation is like, say, a couple.
If you're in a situationship or you're like, if you're in a situationship where you're just like having one night stand, strap up.
Of course, but it's not always that simple because condoms break.
Some people, no, I know. Like,
we weren't in their bedroom.
We're saying despite accidents, but okay. There are people that are intentionally raw dogging it and just
not caring. And that's the thing. And it's about this sensationalization of being a baby mom and being a baby daddy and just, like I said, dropping seed everywhere and not like actively being a father.
Because a lot of people are going into these things and thinking, okay, well, if I get pregnant, like, he'll probably buy me a Birkin bag or I'll be fine.
Bruh, like, I can't with that mentality. And like I said, I think it's because like I know the real shit of being a product of that, especially having a parent who was not there and did not show up properly or enough, and just created a lot of like harmful traumas in my life. Even the man you marry, you have to ensure that that person is healing and is committed to doing right by people, because if not, he's going to continue to traumatize your children, or you might. But what I'm trying to get down to here is that, you know, I'm praying for Laws and her baby. I wish her the best. And another thing I wanted to add, because I forgot, is there's this girl from Toronto that I follow and been following her for a really long time. She's asexual. You know, she's very open about the fact that she's a rape victim. And due to that, she's does not want to be with anybody sexually. She has no desire for it, which is understandable. And she's been raped multiple times. So she, as a grown woman, makes enough money, you know, financially secure, all of those things, went to the sperm bank and is a single parent, right? Child is happy, well taken care of, and everything. Jam? Yeah. You follow that?
I love Jam.
Okay, I didn't know that you follow her. Wow, I didn't even know that, right? George, shout out to George. You know,
George is my favorite self-sufficient toddler.
Love her. I didn't even know you were in the Jamverse. But yeah, so, you know, she made that choice for herself, and the child is very, and I mean, mind you, Jam has the help of her mother and her sister, right? Like, you know what I mean? So it's not like she's completely alone. But I, you know, there's people who choose to be single parents, and in that context, and I think that that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. As I've said, Azaria, you said this too. Like, if we feel the hankering and the need to have a child and we haven't found the one yet, that's an option that we wouldn't mind taking, you know? So I don't want to shame single parents in that sense. And obviously things do happen. Things do happen. And sometimes we're misled, or due to religious beliefs, people don't want to get an abortion. And I completely understand that. But we're particularly talking about people who are very calm and have it normalized in their head, and they're actively choosing this life, you know, that's the difference. But I mean, I'm not judging Laws at all. I wish her the best. I hope that she can get everything she desires in life. I want that for her. And I hope the child is well adjusted and very well loved, but that's how Sue sees it. That's it. That's how Azaria and I feel. And that brings us to the end of the show today. Azaria, is there anything else you wanted to let the folks know today?
No, not necessarily. Check out the services in terms of the A-list strategy. And that's pretty much it.
The referral program as well. Check that out, or you could be a part of that. I don't have much to share either. I'm on the road to 1K on Instagram at Mish Maroon. So make sure you follow me, check that out. I don't have any upcoming projects or anything to speak on as of yet, but I am still partnered with Claws by Kila. So make sure you use your code MISH15, M-I-S-H 1-5 at checkout to get your press on nails. All right. Have a good and safe week, and we will see you soon. Bye.
Thank you for checking out the podcast today, and make sure you check us out at badgalchatpodcast.com, as well as follow us at badgalchatpodcast on Instagram. Also, make sure you follow the host anywhere you can, Instagram, Clubhouse, Twitter, wherever you can find us.
Last but not least, as we should say,
fuck these niggas.